coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Coming at you live from the Ayo Studio.
Hey,
Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. The NFL makes some rule changes. Carmelo calls it a career. And the Celtics fight off elimination. But we begin today's show with LeBron James and the Lakers. They were swept by the Denver Nuggets on Monday. Despite playing all but 4 seconds in the first half, LeBron James could not get one game from the Nuggets. After the game, LeBron discussed taking the offseason to think about his career. Z, should LeBron seriously consider retiring?
Well, first and foremost, let's acknowledge the honey in your voice tonight. You sound so good, man. You sound so good.
Ha!
But you know who doesn't sound good right now? LeBron James. He sounds like a man that is questioning life, right? This is a man who's been playing basketball since he was 18 years old. The chosen one. Cover of Sports Illustrated, the whole thing. Went from being the chosen one to being one of the most prolific mercenaries in basketball history.
You're so generous.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm in a giving mood.
He's not a merc. You think he's a merc? He's not a merc. Larry Bird's a merc. He's not a merc.
Nah, he's... How many different teams is LeBron going to play for? Now, if he decides to pack it in, like, okay, fine. But there's always the possibility, like, he might, you know, make one more run at Cleveland. He may finally join the Knicks. You know, he might go to Brooklyn. Like, who knows where LeBron will go if he decides that he is not quite done yet. And, you know, Father Time catches up with us all, but LeBron James is proving that he is still an effective basketball player. The thing is that LeBron James is acknowledging his own mortality. Like, he's 38, ain't 28, bro. Like wise man once said, he cannot physically do, and that's just nature. That's human nature. He just cannot do what 28-year-old LeBron James did, and he cannot do what 18-year-old LeBron James did, which was carry a team on his back, kicking and screaming to an NBA Finals. Now, in his age 38 season, he averaged 28.9, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Can I interest you in those numbers? Those are still good. Mm-hmm. Those are still very good. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is that, yes, LeBron is 38, and you're asking him to do these things. Anthony Davis finally showed up in the elimination game, 21 points. But then you're looking at Austin Reeves with 17, Schroeder with 13, Hashimura with 10.
And then
a no-show after that. D'Angelo Russell played 15 minutes, got 4 points. Man needs help. Man needs some serious friggin' help. Now, a lot of that, give respect to the Denver Nuggets. They won, they took it, and now they're representing the Western Conference in the finals. But LeBron's got some gas left in the tank. The question is how much? And can he be a cog in the wheel? Yes, he can be. He can be a very good cog in the wheel. He cannot be the cog, the wheel, and the car. That's just the way it is. That's just anatomy.
Well, Z, hold on. Let's get this straight, first of all. The championships he won, he was playing usually with two other Hall of Famers, right? Except for the bubble championship. That was the only one where he just had Anthony Davis, right? So he's always needed a contingent of stars and former first-round picks and deadly three-point shooters, guys with ridiculous ball handles. So in that respect, nothing's changed from LeBron. The only thing I would say that I took away from the loss against Denver, and this is going to be weird. I don't know how to explain it. But if I was to have an argument with somebody about who is the best basketball player of all time, if somebody came to me and said Kareem, sure. Someone said Magic, okay, I'm in. Jordan, yep, I agree with you. Jordan's the best of all time. Somebody said LeBron James to me, I'm at the point right now where I'm not going to argue with you. I would say in past years, I would go, well, you know, he joined the super team in Miami, and then he joined another super team in Cleveland, and then he went to Los Angeles. Like, he never was the best, you know, he never just stayed in one spot. And you know what? After this last run against Denver, where I saw this man really just give everything he had for four games, and it just wasn't enough, I'm in the camp now where, you know what, LeBron's your favorite player. I got no beef with you. Now, if somebody says Kobe is the best player of all time, I got to argue that, you know, because those first three championships, Shaq was the best player in that team. Anybody want to go back and watch Hardwood Classics? Watch the Lakers play with Shaquille O'Neal. It's unfair. It's absolutely unfair. He's averaging like 33 points and like 15 rebounds, and nobody on the face of the planet can stop him. And Kobe's just getting his 20s, 22, shooting and just being, you know, Kobe. But those teams were Shaq's teams. And Kobe did go and win two by himself. But I can argue that. I could argue with the Kobe, you know, person who thinks Kobe's the best player of all time. But
Kobe's one of the best scorers.
Yes, yes, 100%. Kobe could score with five people on him. It doesn't matter. You know, that's true. LeBron, to me, he is one of the best basketball players of all time. I don't think I've said this on the show many a time. We're never going to see another LeBron. You know, this is a guy who went to the finals like, what, 9-10 years in a row. That's just crazy. He's got so many miles on his body, and there's no off the court like controversies, or he's done so much for children and schools, and he lives a good life and he takes care of his body. Can't say a bad thing about LeBron on and off the court. We'll never see that again. Now, in my opinion, in regards to should he retire, right? I don't think he will be able to get back to the finals and win a championship. You know, I mean, he had Anthony Davis on his team, one of the best defensive players in the league, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Like, Jokic is that good. Murray was that good in the series. Like, none of that mattered. Austin Reeves, fine player. He's a fine player. He's a J.R. Reed, right? Mm-hmm. I'd equate him to, like, a J.R. Reed kind of player. Hashimura? Poor man's Chris Bosh. Maybe I'm giving him a little too much credit, but he's a fine player. But it's just not out there. He's older. His game is different now. It's evolved, but I can't see a situation where he's going to go through the playoffs and go through a finals and win another championship. And what are we in this for? We're in this other championships, right? It's like, I wouldn't want to see LeBron come back if he's, you know, I wouldn't want to see a shadow of LeBron, right? And I agree with you. I think he's in top physical shape. I think he can still play. But as far as championships concerned, I just don't know if those are in the cards.
Well, I don't know. It's not in the cards of the Lakers. Like, I think we're in agreement on that. It's not in the cards with the Lakers the way they are constructed.
Well, I think he's got 1 year left, right? He's got 2 years left. So he's got this year coming up. I think he's scheduled to make like $47 million. And then he has the last year of his contract, so like $50 million.
My response to that is, if James Harden could be moved, if Kevin Durant can be moved, LeBron James can be moved. It's not like you're trading him from Cleveland. You know, he's not from Los Angeles. Like, yeah. This is not, you know, he went to that team to chase a ring. Mm-hmm. He went to that team to, you know, build his legacy. Mm-hmm. This is not. He's a merc. Sorry, like the moment you start moving around the league, you're a mercenary.
He's not a merc.
Yes, he is.
You're giving him way more credit than he deserves. He's not no merc.
His job.
Larry Bird was a merc, man. His job. You're saying you're saying because he can go from team to team and kill people. Is that
that's
what
the that's the very that's the very definition of a mercenary. Gotcha. He's a gun for hire.
Okay. All right.
And he will go
with that.
He can go to the highest bidder. Now, whomever that may be. Realistically, I mean, it depends on what you're willing to give up. The Knicks better not, if it's a trade situation, do not gut your team for a 38-year-old LeBron James. That's what you used to do, right? Don't do that now. If you're going to, you know, he's better off being a number two. And I don't know, I really don't know if Giannis would accept him. And I don't know if that would be a situation where LeBron would play second banana. Because it's LeBron friggin' James. Anywhere he goes, he's gonna overshadow it. He goes back to Cleveland, he's overshadowing Donovan Mitchell. You know, he casts a very large shadow, and he leaves so much in his wake. You know, like this team is very much like, you know, those early Cleveland teams where you had Big Z and you had Mo Williams. And you know you had nice players. Anthony Davis is a nice player. He's not a superstar. Like, he's not. He's okay. You know, he's okay at the lowest. Very good at the best.
And LeBron needs three superstars.
Right. So does he say fuck it? Trade me to Houston. James Harden, LeBron, get something going. I mean, does he go back to Miami? Right. I don't know. Like there will be landing spots, but the question is it going to be too rich for the team's blood? So we're gonna find out about that. But let's give some credit to the Nuggets. You know, like we've been talking about LeBron's legacy, but this is the first time in 47 years that the Denver Nuggets are going to reach a finals. Like, and that's impressive.
They did it with the 43rd pick in the draft in Jokic and the Knicks pick with Jamal Murray. That's great.
A guy that was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial.
Awesome.
Like that is what they were. And let's not forget Aaron Gordon. Now, moving forward, I really think Aaron Gordon's going to have a bigger role. Michael Porter Jr., same thing. These guys are going to have a bigger role. Now, obviously, the Eastern Conference Finals isn't over yet. The Celtics have fought off elimination. They beat the Heat 116-99 last night. There are only two teams in the history of pro sports to force a Game 7 after being down 3-0. Only one team has come back to actually win it, though. Can these Celtics become the second team to come back from a 3-0 deficit?
I don't think so. I think it's extremely hard. And the Boston Red Sox, that 04 team, is literally my favorite baseball team of all time because that was awesome. I watched that Game 7 and just laughed my ass off the whole time. Especially after Johnny Damon hit that grand slam. I was like, oh, it's a wrap. I don't think so. I think it's just tremendously hard. I wouldn't be surprised if Boston wins this game, right, in Boston. Mm-hmm. It's coming back to Miami. That's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for them to go back to Miami and win a game. So, and I don't think they have the coaching. Like, I love, you know, second row Joe. But, you know, he's getting out coached. And where's the defense from Jaylen Brown, man? Like, where is this guy? He used to be like an elite defender. What happened to him?
And non-existent.
He just turns over the basketball. Like, it's like two dribbles, and then it's like he gets his cookies taken, or he falls on the floor. He's forever falling on the floor. I just don't know what happened to his game. But, you know, if you're Boston, right? I mean, I want credit for this. I said this 2 years ago. Should have blew this team up. Now they're going to blow the team up now. But because you're not going to give Jaylen Brown a max contract. Like, you can't do that. Like, that's what he's going to be looking for. And then you got to keep Tatum. And Tatum can get his max deal in, like, 2 years. So that's the route you got to go. You got to keep Tatum and try to get some assets for Brown right now. But
well, just let's tie our first topic in with this topic and make a nice pretty bow. If you're the Lakers and you offer LeBron James to the Celtics for a package centered around Jaylen Brown, do you think the Celtics would take it?
I don't think they should. No. They need more than LeBron. Like, nobody can look and say, oh, yeah, if I get LeBron James, I'm going to win a championship. Like, look at what LeBron's done. Like, LeBron has always needed, like, at least two other All-Stars or MVPs or Hall of Famers or first-round picks. So if you don't got that, then you ain't going to get anywhere. Like, he needs that around him. And it's just what he is. Like, that's who he is. The Celtics, I think, should call Portland, right? Mm-hmm. That's the team I'd call and be like, either get Dame or get their pick for Jaylen Brown. But what about you? Do you think that they can come back from a 3-0 deficit?
Not as presently constituted.
You know, I can't see it. I mean, they just play like, first of all, let's get this straight. Whoever wins this game doesn't matter because the Denver is going to beat whoever comes out. At least that's my opinion.
Miami is going to give them more of a series. I think that Boston is going to roll over. I'm not convinced that Boston is any great shakes. You know, you do have Malcolm Brogdon. That's the one thing on the bench that's good. Williams, you know, they'll give you something, but not much. I mean, Grant Williams gave you 14 the other night, but that you need more from him. Brogdon only gave you 2. So you really need to, if it's not the Jason Tatum show, nothing's happening right now. Like Derek White chipped in, Brown had 17.
Jokic is shooting fall away three-pointers with one hand.
Like that's
there's no defense for that, Z. No. There's no defense for that. Like there's nobody going to be stopping this guy. Because
what's going to happen? You're going to have either Al Horford or Robert Williams, or when Miami wins, Bam Adebayo. Like, you're drawing these guys out from the basket, and who's going to feast? Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray. Like, that's what's going to happen. So it's a complete and total mismatch. I concur. How does this team get better is what we're talking about here, because I really don't think, as presently constructed, they can handle the Nuggets. They can't handle the Heat right now. Like Miami is a dangerous team. They've been a dangerous team. Now,
the Celtics is who they should go get Nick Nurse, because I think he would be a very good coach for the Celtics.
Well, they're going to have to fight. They're going to have to see how it plays out, because you have the Suns that are interested. He's in the Final Four with them and Doc Rivers. How the hell is Doc Rivers going to get a job this quickly after such an epic fail job? You know, it's, you know, let's just run it back. Maybe we have enough Hall of Famers this time. But I don't know. It's something that Nurse is in demand. The Bucks are also very high on him and Kenny Atkinson. So it would be very interesting to see like what's going to happen with the coaching if Mazzulla can't get the job done, and it looks like he's not going to get the job done because he's getting thoroughly outcoached. But you kind of figure they're going to go veteran. They have no choice. I mean, they went Ime Udoka. That blew up in their face, but that was because of off-the-court personal issues. Mm-hmm. And then you have this guy's a Philly. You know, like he's in the Premier League, they call him a caretaker manager. Like that's what his role would be. Like Frank Lampard, currently with Chelsea, with Chelsea. That's his job.
It kind of stinks. I feel bad for him because he kind of was just thrown in this situation. Like he didn't have any bench coaches. He didn't have anybody around him to help him. He was kind of thrust into this, a couple weeks before the season started. He was handed a team that, you know, it went to the NBA Finals last year.
Right.
And the fact that just because they don't get back to the Finals is he's going to lose his job, it just stinks because he probably would be a better coach in year two. But if you're the Boston Celtics, I don't think you could really take that chance. I think especially, you know, if you're choosing to run it back with Brown and Tatum, I mean, what you've got to do something different.
Yeah, if you're Mazzulla, and we're looking at him, if he's gonna learn on the job, go learn on the job in Detroit. Go learn on the job in Orlando. Go learn on the job in, you know, Charlotte, where there are no expectations. Like, don't learn on the job in fucking Boston. Like, you know, don't learn on the job like Darvin Ham. Don't learn on the job with the fucking Lakers. Like,
but yeah, like Darvin Ham was a bench coach for a really long time though. Like, he's been around. Like, you know, he's been with a couple of teams. So.
He's been around, but he was never the guy. Like, that's the thing. He's learning on the job in that regard. He's the one calling the timeouts. He's the one calling the plays. I thought he did well.
Yeah. I thought he did okay. I never would have thought he would have became a coach. I remember watching him as a player. Never thought that would happen.
That's the thing. The worst players are seemingly the guys who are innocuous often become the best coaches because they have a great view from the bench. So they kind of, you see everything, you know? That's why Alex Cora was such a hot commodity. And that's why he ended up, you know, outside of being a cheater, you know, that's why Alex Cora was in demand because he saw it all. He had a great bird's eye view from the bench.
Can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
But you know who else is having a bird's eye view from the cheap seats now? One Carmelo Anthony. He called it a career on Monday. He was drafted by the Nuggets. Won Rookie of the Year. Remember that, guys? LeBron did not win Rookie of the Year. It was Carmelo Anthony. Spent his career with the Nuggets, with the Knicks. He ended up with the Rockets. He was with the Thunder. He was with the Hawks. Well, kind of with the Hawks. Like, he was there for 5 days, and he was just there to get the buyout paperwork taken care of. But he got his jersey. 19 years, 10 All-Star appearances. No rings, though. No rings. Just the one from Syracuse. How will you remember Carmelo Anthony, Dave?
I won't. I won't. I hate to say it, but I'm not... I mean... I think Knicks fans think more of him than anything. I didn't realize he was with the Knicks for 7 seasons. I didn't realize that. 7 seasons. He was with Denver for 8. So he spent almost half of his career in a Knicks uniform. Wild. Never knew that. Yeah, I mean, I'm just... Is he Patrick Ewing? No. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Is he John Starks? He's probably better than John Starks was. But is he Willis Reed? Nope.
Nope.
So, is he Earl the Pearl? Nope. Is he Frazier? Nope. So, what are we talking about here? Like, I think he's for this era. Like, when I say this era, like the last 10 years. Yeah. But 20 years from now, are we going to be talking about Carmelo Anthony? I don't think so. I think there'll be better players. There'll be other Carmelos. The problem I have with Carmelo is I thought he was such a super talented guy. And just in my opinion, I don't have anything to back this up, but I just don't think he put the work in. Especially when you saw other peers in his class succeed. And you saw other players around him succeed. You know, like, why couldn't he be Kobe? Why couldn't he be look at LeBron went to 10. Like, he went to what? Like 10 finals? How many finals did LeBron go to?
No. I believe it's 10. We could double check that.
14. Like, Carmelo never even went to one. He never got to one, dude. Like, I just, to me, is he part of this anniversary team? He was. What a joke. Yeah, he's whatever. It's kind of disappointing. I would have liked to see him have been a better player. I mean, I just really, in my opinion, I just remember one year with the Knicks where he got to the playoffs and they might have been a 3 seed or a 4 seed or a really high seed. I think Mike Woodson was the coach, and I saw them play against the Miami Heat, and it's like, he's just, not that he's just another guy, but just like, whatever. Well, how about you?
Well, I mean, let's look at his stat line. You're looking at 23-6-3. Those were his career averages. Not a great three-point shooter, 36%. Not a great field goal shooter, 45%. Not great from the free throw line, 81.
That's pretty good.
It's okay.
I think it's pretty damn good, 81%.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's not great. So, he's a good player. Did he revolutionize the game? No. Did he become a transcendent superstar? No. But he's kind of like in that echelon of like Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady, like that level. Like, never, you know, not the second, not the next gear.
Like, I feel like
good, but not great.
I feel like Vince at least got to an NBA Finals with the Nets, I think, right? No?
He did. No, he did. But at the same time, it's just like...
Plus, T-Mac? T-Mac, I think, got to the Finals with the Spurs.
He got to the second round.
He might even got a ring with the Spurs that year.
No,
No. Don't go crazy.
Let's not go that far. But, no, Vince Carter, like, he had a prolific career based on longevity. You know, by the end, he was a compiler. But, you know, he developed from a dunker into a serviceable player.
Who's that?
Vince Carter. He came in as primarily a dunker.
Yeah.
So,
I think
Melo,
Vince Carter is probably a bigger name than Carmelo Anthony. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, just because there's something that Vince Carter has that Carmelo Anthony does not have. And that's that, you know, prolific moment. You know, like, people remember the dunks. People remember that. What is Carmelo Anthony's, you know, pivotal moment? Like, squashing Linsanity? Like, is that what he's going to hang his hat on? You know, he was a very good player. I will give him that. But I don't know. Like, he always came off as slow. He came off as slower than everybody else in terms of foot speed. Like, he always seemed kind of doughy and out of shape. I'm with you as far as that's concerned. Because, like, Carmelo, like, he should have been better than he was. I agree. I agree with you in that sentiment. But
his work ethic. His work ethic got to him, I think.
Yeah, or lack thereof.
He was busy going out, clubbing, and hanging out. And he never... to me, there's no reason why he shouldn't have been as... It should have been him and LeBron every year, like Peyton Manning and Brady, and it never happened. It never happened. Like, they were primed to be playing against each other, going against one another, and it never happened. And even the year they teamed up, they went nowhere. Yeah. Awful.
No, I mean, I kind of, like... He almost reminds me of, like, a lesser James Harden. Like, James Harden's another guy who coasts on...
I mean...
Or around the same.
Carmelo, to me, is a better shooter than James. James could go to the basket. I remember Carmelo really blowing by people and going to the basket. I remember him having a good shot and you know, him being able to get shots off from all parts of the floor. That's what I remember the most about Carmelo. I don't remember him blowing by people. I remember when he wanted to get a rebound, he'd get the rebound. Oh, there isn't stopping. Anybody stop him on Carmelo if he wanted to get a rebound. That was another thing that was good about it.
Yeah. I mean, he will be remembered if he is in consideration for the Hall of Fame for the longevity of his career, and remember that the Naismith Hall of Fame includes college, and he was a, he was, you know,
and the NBA lets everybody in, so yeah, he'll get in there. Chris Paul will go there one day.
He'll get in there, but you know, we're definitely, we're still waiting for that. Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? A delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave, from the classic OB to Dutch apple to campfire s'mores and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up. Make sure you follow on Instagram and Facebook too, at sweetlifebrownie_co, for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give them a call, 845-641-3043, and tell them D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie. But the NFL made a few announcements this week, and they're not making us wait on some interesting rule changes. So players will now be able to fair catch kickoffs, and they'll get the ball at the 25. Okay, that seems like an interesting one. What's potentially game-changing, though, is the NFL owners voting to allow for Thursday night games to be flexed. Sunday, Monday night next year, all of this will be in play. But for now, we're just going to look at Thursday. We're going to flex Thursday. One more deal. And this one's kind of like minutia. This one's kind of like based on the San Francisco 49ers. They might as well just call it the 49er rule. It will not count towards a roster spot, but there will be an emergency third-string quarterback dressed, so that if Brock Purdy and Josh Johnson get murdered,
when,
and then Trey Lance also gets killed, that there will be, they will have somebody dressed and ready to go, so that Christian McCaffrey doesn't have to go under center. You're welcome, San Francisco. So what are your thoughts on the new rule changes, and which one's going to have the biggest impact?
I mean, the fair catch is trash. Just get rid of the kickoff. Like, they do not want to have kickoffs anymore. And the whole idea that you're trying to cut down on player safety, I don't want to hear it. It's garbage, because you added another game, and you're gonna add another game if you can. You're gonna add more games. Don't tell me if it's about player safety. And I mean, what? I find it hard to believe anybody's gonna catch the ball at the 5 yard line and try to run with it. Why wouldn't you fair catch anything? Anything below the 20-yard line should be fair catching. I don't get how anybody's going to be returning any kicks. And it's crazy, because it's like one of the most exciting plays in football is the kickoff. And you're literally trying to take it away. They would probably take away the punt, too, if they could. It's just crazy. And then emergency quarterback, I mean, I guess it's okay, but I feel like that's on you as a team. Like, you know, you got to be smart about who you're carrying and what you're bringing to the table. I mean, it sucks, but protect your players. Run more run plays. I don't know. And then the flexing of the Thursday night game, that's another thing. You want to talk about player safety? How about getting rid of Thursday night games? I want to know one player that's excited or looking forward to playing on a Sunday and then going back out there on Thursday. Like, they're inconsistent of what their player safety dynamic or thought process is. But in being able to flex Thursday night games, you're totally just going to lose any fans from out of town going to the game. How could any fan out of town buy a ticket to a Thursday night game and with confidence? I mean, when you buy a ticket to a game that's in another state, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. You got to get a flight. You got to get a hotel room. You got to take time off from work. If somebody just changes that 12 days before, well, there goes that. So
it's insane. Yeah,
it's your, so, you know, the NFL doesn't care because they're, most of their teams, they've sold out their tickets. But if you're a person that you sell your tickets and you usually are, you know, send them to the secondhand market, it's got to affect you in some way. I would think so. I mean, you're not going to have a lot of problem with, like, I guess, Dallas and Philly, right? But I got to imagine you're going to have trouble with, I don't know, like, Seattle and probably New Orleans, right? Like, you just, mm-hmm. places where there's not, you know, where they maybe get a lot of out-of-towners. I would assume that you're going to have some tough time with that. So, well, your question is, which one, the emergency quarterback, I guess, is helpful to teams that don't know how to manage their roster or don't know how to protect their players. But as everything else, it's garbage.
For teams with bad blocking schemes, like it's a good thing to have. But here's my question to you. Kickoffs. There were 1,013 kickoffs. How many were returned for touchdowns last year?
Two.
Six. You were close. Yeah. 0.6%. And punt returns. There were 952. How many punts were returned?
Five.
Three. You were very close. 0.3%. So, you know, what are we talking about here? What are
the special teams coach is no longer just like a special teams coach. He's just a teams coach.
Right.
Take the special out of it now.
It's change the special to the extra. Like, just call him extra coach. Extra teams coach.
Sorry, Coach Westhoff.
We'll have you on to discuss this because I'm sure you're not too happy about this. But of the importance, it's got to be the flexing of the Thursday night games because you're screwing your fans. You're screwing your fans.
Hard,
really bad. You know, like if we have tickets to the Jets, right? Like, say that we got tickets to the Jets and we were going to go. And all of a sudden, you know, you plan out months in advance because the schedule release is a holiday. So now, like, oh, shit, yes, we're going to go see the Jets and, you know, and now all of a sudden, well, I know you were waiting for it to be Sunday, but now it's a Thursday in the middle of a work week. You have kids, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, we have responsibilities as adults. Yeah. You know, it's just like, oh shit, I guess I'm gonna drop what I'm doing.
You went from like a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday to like a Thursday night, 8 o'clock. You're like, what am I gonna do with that?
Right.
Exactly. I have work. How am I getting there?
Now, what if you were, now you also brought it up a great point about travel. Like, if we're going to a road game, say we're going, you know, say we were going to watch, you know, the Eagles. You know, like, if Philly's close enough that we can do that. Or if we were going to Buffalo. Like, Orchard Park's not that far away, relatively speaking. It's not like we're flying to Seattle. Right, you've been there. Yeah, it's not like we're flying to Seattle. But to change within 2 weeks, even within 2 weeks, it's hard to...
12 days.
Yeah. To change travel plans, to change lodging. Hotels aren't going to charge cancellation fees. Like, is the NFL gonna, like,
pick up the tab?
Right? Are they gonna compensate the fans for this? Because, like, at the end of the day, NFL fans are the most hardcore. Right? You only get 17. Right? You only get 17 games, so they will move heaven and earth, go to the ends of the earth, so that they go to the game that they want to go to. And now you're gonna say, ha, 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 that's what you think.
Not so fast.
Not so fast, my friend. Not so fast. All you're doing is chasing a buck, chasing a TV rating, and trying to satisfy Jeff Bezos. Like, I understand you're trying to justify having Al Michaels on these games, because last year, trying to listen to Al Michaels get excited about Colts Titans isn't exactly doing it for me. I understand. However, it's at the expense of the people who ultimately pay for your product.
They don't care.
And it's a major league slap in the face. And the thing is that they know they have the fans by the balls. And they're not going to do anything. The fans are going to say,
thank you.
Yay, thank you. And they're going to keep coming. They're going to pay $20 for the beer. They're going to pay $50 for the parking.
What I'm not understanding is that regardless of how trash the Thursday night game is, right? People are still going to watch it. So you tell me you really lost viewership if it was like two teams that weren't any good. You get garbage football on Thursday night anyway.
How long before we flex London games to Thursday? Like how long before that happens? Because if you're gonna flex, like you have to make some sort of rule. I think, like if you're gonna flex a game to a Thursday, make sure that they have a bye week coming or they're coming off a bye week.
Right.
Like I think that would be
That's the better way to play it for sure. The better way to play it is just to have teams that are coming off a bye or going into a bye after play on Thursday. I think it's incredibly unfair to ask the team to play Sunday night and then turn around and play Thursday.
Right.
Like, that's just ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous and short-sighted and shows they don't care about player safety. We're talking about player safety, right? They're not doing it. They don't care. They'd have you play every day of the week if you could. Like, now there's the Black Friday game, right? That's being introduced. Like, if there's a way for the NFL to put a game on every day of the week, they absolutely would. Do not be snowed by this, ladies and gentlemen. It's a money grab. At the end of the day, it's a money grab. It's competition for your eyeballs. It's competition for your dollars. And at the end of the day, you just have to realize that and put your money where your mouth is. And if you don't like it, you don't have to support it.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
Speaking of not liking and not supporting, Davante Adams, he's displeased with the Vegas Raiders front office and coaching staff. Didn't he just leave a situation where he was disgruntled? Call me crazy. Maybe I'm getting old. Maybe I'm getting botza. But if Adams was available on the trade block, should the Giants and Jets get in on this? And who has a better chance to land him? Or is there another team that is like a dark horse candidate?
Well, Aaron Rodgers tweaked his calf this week. I thought that was the start of something. I don't really know. I mean, the Jets don't need him. Like, they don't need him. And the Giants, I guess so, but I don't know. Can Danny get him the ball? I like DeAndre Hopkins better, personally. That seems like it might be more affordable and easily, and could be easier to get done. But no, I don't think the Jets should just go with what they got. They're going on hopes and dreams. I mean, there's so much anticipation for this damn team. I thought it was funny that Rodgers had got hurt, was taking a bet day. I haven't seen anybody talk about how good Zach Wilson looked at practice. It's like that guy is not even on the team anymore.
Oh, Zach. Like, what can you say about Zach Wilson?
And the clips I saw, he actually looked pretty good, actually. It's funny. He did look pretty good at practice.
But he is going to have a very difficult time getting out of the shadow of the circus for the past couple of years.
So wait, and, so what did you think? What do you think about Devontae before you get into Zach Wilson?
I think that Devontae Adams is much ado about nothing. And at the end of the day, he just needs something to be upset about. And, you know, his boy is gone. Derek Carr is gone. They replaced him with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Hall of Famer, Derek Carr. Do you remember?
Right. And then Hall of Famer, Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, everybody's going to be, you know.
If I'm Jimmy, I'm actually feeling kind of hurt that he hasn't said, oh, I'm going from one Hall of Famer to another yet.
If I'm Jimmy, I'm upset that Tom Brady bought a stake in the Raiders. He can't get away from this guy.
I got more rings than Derek Carr. Like, come on, man. Where's my love?
And I have the same number of snaps in the Super Bowl. Actually, no, that's not true. He has victory formations. He has snaps in the Super Bowl.
No, Tom would not let him take a snap in the Super Bowl. No fucking way.
Oh, but...
I'm trying to think, though. How many Super Bowl rings does Jimmy have? He's got at least one. He won the Seattle one. Did he win the one? Did he get the Atlanta one, too?
Pretty sure he's got two. I'm pretty sure Jimmy's got two. Brissett's got one.
So Jimmy's got more than Aaron Rodgers and more than Derek Carr.
Exactly.
And he still is not getting any love from his wide receiver. What's up with that?
It's absolutely ridiculous. But as far as, like, you brought up DeAndre Hopkins, that's the guy that I would want. Like, that's the guy that I'm looking for if I'm the Giants, right? You're looking at,
James
in terms
Richard
of
Richard Garoppolo. What Italian are you?
Just look at him. Like, you know, the paisan.
Who gave him his name, though?
His parents, of course. But, you know, that whoever gave him that chiseled jawline. So, you know, in terms of body type, DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Adams, very similar body type. If you're looking at career, it's arguable that DeAndre Hopkins has had a better career than Devontae Adams. That's arguable. But in terms of production for yardage, in terms of touchdowns, Devontae Adams hasn't beat. But who was the quarterback in Houston? Who was the quarterback in Green Bay? So there's that. It just seems like DeAndre Hopkins is a better fit, seems like a better teammate, and it will probably cost you a hell of a lot less. Not just financially, right? Because you'll have to work out the contract details, but you might be able to work out lesser compensation. You are dealing with the Raiders, after all. But to me, like, Devontae Adams just, he's in that time in his career when he just needs something to bitch about. He just needs, whether it's his contract or being the number one wideout or something, you know, he is in his feelings. Like, Devontae is just right up in his feelings. And, you know, the Giants could use him. I'd prefer DeAndre Hopkins. I'm with you. The Jets don't need him. I hesitate to guess who would make a play for him. Carolina, maybe. But then again, like, they seem to be building a deep core. Like, maybe they want to add him, but it's unnecessary. You're looking at, if they could swing it, maybe the Rams. You want to put him with Cooper Kupp? Like, maybe. But, man, I'm sure he would have plenty of suitors. It's a question of, you know, what would the price be, and is the price tag too steep? Get out of your feelings, Devontae. Get out your feelings.
Want to get on the action? We want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast. Drop us a DM on Twitter @faderoutednz. Comment on our YouTube channel, The Fade Route with DNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it, we want to hear from you. Get at us, in crowd. Bullshit or no shit? We're going to debate this week's most controversial sports topics right now.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement. It's either bullshit or it's no shit. Bullshit or no shit. Number one, the Chargers will regret extending Austin Eckler.
I'm gonna say no shit on this. Like, I'm not an Austin Eckler fan. Like, I get it. Like, wow, you catch the ball out of the backfield and you can squat so much and you can run the ball. You're like a bowling ball almost. But I'm not like overly impressed with what he's done, and he isn't there and won. How are you paying this guy? He haven't won anything, and apparently he can earn like $1.7 million incentives in his new deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man, good for you. I whatever, I'm not interested.
I'm going no shit as well, just from the simple fact of whose offense is this? It's Justin Herbert's offense. This is a passing offense. That's great that you can dump the ball off to Austin Eckler. That's wonderful. But at the end of the day, you need receivers. Right? And you could argue, like, in terms of production, like you mentioned, he's like a bowling ball. You know what? Mike Tolbert was a bowling ball. Like, Philip Lindsay, like he was a contact guy. Like, you have these players who bubble up, and Austin Eckler, like, he'll be okay. Now, I really think that it's much ado about nothing, and there's a reason why that they only were going to incentivize him $1.75 million. You know, it shows you what they value.
Well, he was threatening to leave. He wants to get traded. He's in the final year of his. He's entering in the final season of a 4-year deal. He wanted some more incentives added. It's like, but I don't think they should be giving him an extension. Let him go. You can get another Austin Eckler in the draft.
The running back position itself has been so devalued that you can sign an undrafted free agent. Right. You don't need to go Saquon Barkley. You don't need to go touched by the hand of God. Austin Eckler himself was not a highly regarded player out of Colorado. Like, that's just not the case anymore. You don't need to have the prolific player be the running back. Like, Emmitt Smith isn't walking through that door. You know, you just don't need that. But he's a complimentary player. Excuse me, Western Colorado. Not even University of Colorado. He went to, you know, it's Gunnison, Colorado. Okay, I don't even know where that is, and I lived in Colorado for a year. But Eckler's a fine running back, but eminently replaceable. It is what it is. Bullshit or no shit. Number two, Nikola Jokic will win the NBA Finals MVP.
It's no shit. I don't care who they play. They could play the Heat. They could play the Celtics. They could play Michael Jordan. He's winning the MVP of the Finals this year. The man is unstoppable. There's nothing that he can't do.
If I'm going to play devil's advocate, because it's very hard to disagree with a man this talented and this big. He's averaging 25 a game, 25, 12, and 10. So it's very difficult for me to say, yeah, no way, he's got no shot. It's more likely to be no shit than anything. If I'm looking at an outside the box candidate, and even then, it's really not that outside the box considering where he was drafted, I would say Aaron Gordon. Because everybody's going to expect Jokic. Everybody's going to expect Murray. That allows Aaron Gordon to kind of clean up and do what needs to be done. And he is a prolific player. He's growing into being a prolific player. But in reality, the answer is no shit. This guy, Jokic, he's a different animal. You know, he is a beast. And the Miami Heat are going to see that very soon. If anybody can stop him, if anybody can scheme a way to stop him, it's Eric Spoelstra. I'm not going to lie. Coach Spo may have a plan. Who knows? We will see, but it doesn't look good. I'm not going to say 100%, but Jokic is definitely on the fast track, so no shit. Bullshit or no shit. Number three. Baseball is the hardest sport to come back in after being down 3-0.
Baseball's the hardest to come back. I think it could happen in basketball. I think it could happen in basketball, especially if injuries happen, right? I think it could happen in hockey. I think it could happen in hockey because you get a goaltender to just kind of he's hot, and then all of a sudden he loses confidence. You change goaltenders. Things could shift a series pretty quickly. I'm going no shit. I think baseball is hard because, you know, there's so many different factors at play, and you would have to really collapse like the Yankees did for it to happen. So, yeah, I'm going no shit.
It's very tough. Because you have the momentum of the next day starting pitcher, as the cliche goes. We see it a lot in hockey. That doesn't mean it's, you know, that doesn't mean it's difficult. But we see crazy shit in hockey all the time. We saw the Florida Panthers knock off the best regular season team in the history of the NHL. Right, we just saw that this year, and they are one period away from sweeping the Carolina Hurricanes and going to face possibly the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Finals. So, in terms of like ease, probably basketball is going to be the easiest, I would say.
I'd say it's the most possible, right?
Yeah,
that's the best way to say it. I don't think it's easy at all, but I think it's the most. It's a place where it could happen.
Yeah,
it's most possible there.
Yeah, but even so, like hockey is just fire wagon. You know, like in the playoffs, so many things happen that, you know, it's way more in the realm of reality. How many 1-8 upsets have we had? Like, yes, we had 1-8 upset this year, but, you know, think back to when the Nuggets knocked off the Sonics, or when, you know, Dirk got upset and then they gave him his MVP. So, you know, those are a little bit fewer and far between, but over the attrition of a 7-game series and everything that goes into it, I'm going to have to go no shit as well. Like, baseball is it's very difficult to cease momentum, you know? It's not like the injury to the goalie, right?
The goalie!
It's not like, oh, goalie got hurt, we got to put him back up. Now, all of a sudden, we've gone south, right? Or James Harden, Chris Paul, oh, soft tissue injury. Now, you know, that seems to be an issue. You roll 4 starters in the playoffs, right? Like the bullpen games are a more recent phenomenon, but in the past, you're running 4 starters out there. And, you know, think about the 98 Yankees. Your number 4 was El Duque. Like, that's an embarrassment of riches, you know? So, like, on a really good team, like the Braves, right? You got Strider, you got Freed. You'll have, you know, you're going to be rolling out guys. If the Mets make it that far, you'll have your Verlander, you'll have your Scherzer. Senga got roughed up today, but Senga, more often than not, has been pretty good. Like, that can stop a series right there. Like, that can end a series pretty quickly. So, because of the nature of starting pitching and because of the depth of rotation, I'm narrowly going to go no shit. But for physical toll, hockey by far, just because of the physical nature that you need and the physical beating you need to take in order to make it happen. But in terms of difficulty, they're all hard. Let's be real here. I'm just giving narrowly to baseball.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
Alright, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. Here's how it goes. We put up a poll on our Twitter account at FadeRouteDNZ, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, Dave?
I don't.
Arsenal, the Gunners. Congratulations, that's the only trophy you're going to be winning this year. Too soon? It felt too soon. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, first up, I've got the Tampa Bay Rays. You're supposed to be the class of the AL East, and you get blown out by the Blue Jays 20-1.
Oof.
20-1? Do better, boys. Just do better. Sticking with baseball. Another team, the Oakland A's. 10-40 record on the season. I know you guys want to go to Vegas, but geez, can we get at least 20 games under 500? Oakland A's, do better. Just do better. And last and not least, your boy Carlos Correa. You started the season like trash. Now you're headed to the IL. Gosh, when is this going to be over? Carlos Correa, you are my legend superstar of the week. Z, what do you got?
Mets dodged a bullet. Giants dodged a bullet.
I said it. I said it on this show.
For me, let's start with Jamie Benn of the Dallas Stars.
That guy.
Took a game misconduct match high sticking penalty. A cross-checking penalty, excuse me. Led to a Vegas power play goal. A deep 3-0 series lead for the Golden Knights. And a 2-game suspension. So the Stars are without their captain in an elimination game. Yeah. That's not looking good. Jamie Benn, you are my alleged superstar of the week. The Atlanta Hawks for gifting Carmelo Anthony a jersey, even though he never suited up for Atlanta. He was there for 5 days and got bought out. He was just waiting for the ink to dry on the buyout. He got his $25 million. And he got to go to Houston. So, I guess that warrants a jersey these days. Apparently, he wanted one. Congratulations, I think. But, Atlanta Hawks, you didn't need to do that. If it was unnecessary. And frankly, a little silly. Atlanta Hawks, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, La Liga supporters. You, oh my God, the racism runs deep. In La Liga. First, you had Valencia shouting racial epithets towards Vinny Jr. of Real Madrid. And then, 7 supporters of Atletico Madrid got arrested for putting a Vinny Jr. kit on an effigy and then hanging it off a bridge. Wow. This is that the racism is running deep. It's running deep in Spain. And apparently it's condoned. We got to fix that. We got to do better. You guys need to do better. La Liga supporters, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we've said our piece. Go to our Twitter page and vote. And vote. And vote. And vote. And for our nominee. Just do better, boys. Just do better. Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their hoodies, snapbacks, graphic tees, accessories, and more. Season 3 merch is up now. Get it while you can. Go to fckclout.com and get all of your needs from men and women. That's fckclout.com.
Order up!
We are doing a position-by-position breakdown of the top 5 players in Major League Baseball. So it's time for us to order up.
Order up, order up.
We're starting with the players that don the tools of ignorance. Catchers. The top 5 catchers currently in Major League Baseball. From 5 to 1, who you got, D?
All right, I'm going to start off with an interesting one. I'm going to start off with Sean Murphy, Atlanta Braves. I didn't realize how good he was, and I actually missed on this guy in fantasy baseball. He is got 10 home runs. He's been lights out behind the plate and really, really good pickup by the Braves. Next, I've got Sal Perez. Man, he's a little older, but you can't run on him. Guy's got a World Series ring, and he's clutch when he needs to be. Number 3, JT Realmuto. Yep, he's the modern-day Pudge, really, with his solid defense and offense as a catcher. Rarely takes a day off, and he impacts the game in every way. Number 2, I like him. I just like him a lot. Will Smith, catcher for the Dodgers. Batting 310, 7 home runs, 27 RBI. Doesn't wear batting gloves when he bats. I just like this guy. And number 1, it's only his second year in the league, but I think he's going to be the future of the catching position. And that's Rutschman from the Baltimore Orioles. Tremendous upside, and I just like the guy. So what do you got, Z?
The list is short. Catching is a lost art. Let's be real here. Like, gone are the days of having either a solid defensive catcher or an all-around masher, right? You don't have Mike Piazza. You don't have Pudge. You don't even have Jorge Posada anymore. And I'm not the biggest Jorge Posada fan. Jason Varitek. But these guys aren't there. This was a hard list to compile, to be fair. But we have the same guys.
Ha! Do we really? Yeah, you even got Will Smith?
Even Will Smith. Now, wow. The question is the order.
That's wild.
For me, based on the fact that he's having a pedestrian year for him. Now, it's early, but I'm going to go with Realmuto. He's okay. He's having an okay, decent year. Like, steady Eddie. But let's pump the brakes on him being Pudge. Like, Pudge was a phenomenon. Like, in terms of his arm strength, in terms of, you know, his ability to, like, hit for contact. Didn't flash the power. He occasionally flashed the power, but never. You know, he was not the guy in that lineup that you were worried about. He's not the Juan Gonzalez. He's not A-Rod. He's not Teixeira. He wasn't even Rusty Greer. So, like, he's the guy who would hit the double that would put the dagger in your heart. Realmuto's like that. But, like, let's pump the brakes just a little bit and let him play a little bit longer before we invoke the name of Ivan Rodriguez. For the same reason, I'm going to put Rutschman at 4. Like, I think it's too much too soon. Like, I like the guy as a player. I think he's going to be solid. I think it's too much too soon. So let's give him some time to mature. Let's give him some time to develop. On this trajectory, this kid's going to be a stud. And the Orioles have a hell of a find. But we've seen players get derailed, right? And this is also not foreign territory for the Orioles either. Remember Matt Wieters? Like, Matt Wieters was supposed to be Joe Mauer with power. He was not Joe Mauer, and he was not Joe Mauer with power. So let's see what happens there. Number three, old man Salvi, Salvi Perez. Like, what more can you say about him? Like, he's carrying the torch for the old guard. And defensively, he's a stud. Offensively, he's picking it up. He's already got 11 dingers. He's hitting 280. He's got a slug. He's got an OPS of 852. Like, solid. Solid, solid, solid. And like you said, he has a pelt on the wall at the expense of the Mets. Number two, I'm going Murphy. Like, Sean Murphy was very good for years in Oakland. But the problem is that he was in Oakland, right? It's where unknowns live. Like, he, you know, he's like Sid Finch. People were wondering if he's real. But he's finally showing that he is the guy. Does he strike out too much? Yes. He strikes out way too much. But who doesn't? Striking out is not as frowned upon as it used to be. He can handle a pitching staff. He's exactly what the Braves needed. And kudos to them for getting him. 947 OPS. Can I interest you in that? I think so. And number one, Will Smith of the Dodgers.
Wow, you got him at number
one. I got him at number one. I currently have him at number one. 957 OPS, 7 homers, 310 batting average, handles that pitching staff well, has been able to do it for, you know, he's been able to do it. And you've seen him progress. He hasn't been a flash in the pan. You've seen growth. Now, let's see. He's 28. So he is kind of like, he's getting up there in catcher years. So eventually, who knows, the Dodgers, you know, may move him off the dish. But we'll see. Right now, I like him a lot. He brings a lot to the table. He brings power. He brings defense. And all around, he's a solid, solid player. Exactly what you want for that team.
This has been the Fade Route with D&Z. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday night on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route, but we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.